This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fastest internet in America, so call 1-800-XFINITY or get to Xfinity.com.
That's right, Pop. Performance starter internet for just $29.99 a month for 12 months. Just call 1-800-XFINITY or simply visit Xfinity.com today. The holiday internet sale.
I'm Doug Brown. There are three finalists for tonight's Heisman Trophy presentation. Alabama junior running back Derrick Henry, Stanford sophomore running back Christian McCaffrey, and Clemson sophomore quarterback Deshaun Watson. ESPN college football analyst Trevor Maddich says Henry is probably the favorite.
It looks like it's Derrick Henry against the world every game. And Derrick Henry wins. He beats the world. He leads the nation in not just rushing yards, but also in carries. And so he not only takes more hits than any other running back in America, he delivers more hits than any running back in America. And that's because he is the offense.
The Heisman presentation is live here on ESPN Radio with our coverage starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, and you can watch it on ESPN starting at 8 Eastern. There's only one FBS college football game today, the 116th meeting of Army and Navy. They're in the second quarter in Philadelphia. Number 21 Navy leads Army 14-10, thanks to Keenan Reynolds' second touchdown run of the day. College basketball on ESPN late first half. Number 5 Kentucky leads Arizona State 26-22. Finals earlier, number 7 Oklahoma gets 30 points from Buddy Hield and beats Oral Roberts 96-73. Number 11 Purdue goes to 11-0. They beat Youngstown State 95-64. The defending NBA champs, the Warriors, will try to finish off a perfect 7-0 road trip tonight in Milwaukee. No NBA team has ever had a perfect road trip of at least 7 games.
DollarShaveClub.com makes getting an amazing shave simple. Use a fresh DSC blade with their Dr. Carver Shave Butter. That's it. And if you're looking for a great gift, give them the club. They've got super simple gift ideas for everyone. Get yours today at DollarShaveClub.com.
Sports on FM just sounds better.
KGMZ-FM at HD1 San Francisco and KUFX HD2 San Jose. 95.7 The Game. Deeper knowledge, tougher stands, more passionate conversation. The Bay Area's new sound for sports is 95.7 The Game. Live and local.
The Three Amigos.
This is The Three Amigos with Rudy Ortiz, Brandon Santiago, and Victor Zaragoza on 95.7 The Game. Now, here they are, The Three Amigos.
Bay Area, welcome back to the Three Amigos, Lil Amigo Nation going on. We've been talking Dubs all day, man.
Dub Nation, baby.
We've been talking Dubs all day. It's something happy to speak on, you know?
It's a phenomenon right now, man.
We got some Raider talk coming up, but I do want to wrap up on the Dubs a little bit because they got a game today at 2 o'clock.
Last of a seven-game road streak.
It's at 5 o'clock. I'm sorry, 5 o'clock in Milwaukee. They're trying to win their seventh straight road game. And
really,
this is incredible right here. Never been done before in NBA history.
Ever.
Seven road games in a row. I mean, this has just been a season of just milestones for the Warriors. This is a historical season without even trying.
Ever. Has a team ever been on a road trip for seven games or longer and won all seven. They're also two games below the all-time record for road wins all-time, which is 16. So if they win tonight, they're one game off of being road game away from being tied for the all-time record. We already know last night, and this is something we're going to talk about in a second. Last night, they allegedly passed up the second all-time win streak at 28 wins, which was the Miami Heat, because they're also counting those four wins from last season.
How do you feel about that? I gotta ask, because, you know, my thing is, like, they lost in the finals, they lost in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I understand that wasn't regular season play. I understand that.
Right.
But it just doesn't feel like a real streak. To me, a streak is a streak. I mean, you have to be, you have to have the continuity of the same result. Win, 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 or lose, lose, lose. I feel like they gotta win 33 in this season for that record to be legit, for that that streak to be legit. What's your take on that?
Listen, I totally agree. I'm gonna use the analogy. I like food. I'm gonna use the analogy. If I go to a buffet and I pay $30 and then I leave that buffet and come back, I still gotta pay another $30.
Right.
I can't just eat again and just say, you know what, it's an extension from the last $30 I paid. No, man, these are two different seasons, two separate entities. Really, I mean, they're two different teams. Jason Thompson wasn't on that team last year. This is a different team. David Lee was on that team last year. So to me, you can't say the Warriors organization, I'm sure they love it. Like, nah, we already have 28. But no, for me as a basketball fan, even though I'm a Warriors fan as well, they got to win three more games after tonight if they win tonight to have really beaten the Heat record. And they got to win once they get to 34 games this season. Then I'll say, yeah, you know what? They have the all-time streak, but the four games from last, that doesn't count to me at all. No way.
Yeah, I'm with you on that 100%. You know, we still got some people that want to talk Dubs. We don't like to leave anybody hanging. So we actually got somebody from Fremont that wants to speak a little Blake Griffin. I think we may have riled up a couple of people. I don't know in what direction, but we're going to speak with Mariano in Fremont. Want to talk about Blake Griffin. Mariano, speak on it, man. What's going on?
In the zone.
Yo, what's going on, fellas? Hey, man, first of all, to say that Blake Griffin is the best power forward in the NBA, you're tripping. I mean, you ain't never heard of Anthony Davis. And on top of that, I mean, really, you look at KD and also LeBron, even though they play small forward, they really do play a power forward role anyway. I mean, that's just, they're kind of like a hybrid. But, I mean, that's cool, man. I mean, you know, everybody has their own opinion. I just think that Blake Griffin is really one-dimensional. Even though he's shooting a lot more now from the floor, he plays his defense, his version of defense is just basically just trying to just bum rush somebody and just tackle people on the floor. I don't think Blake Griffin's all that. I think he's overrated, but he's not the best power forward in the NBA. But it's all, like I said, man, everybody has their own opinion, so you know it's whatever. But I mean, I think Draymond, man, he gets I don't know, a lot of people don't really see his value. But I mean, what Draymond brings to the game is totally different than what Blake Griffin brings to the game. I think if you put Draymond on a team like New Orleans Pelicans or something like that, he's going to make your number one guy, your franchise guy. In New Orleans' case, you know, an AD, he's going to make that team so much more better. You take Draymond off of the Warriors, I don't think that Steph has a lot of the success that he's had.
So, Mariano, let me ask you this. It sounds like you're a Draymond over Blake guy, okay? Why do you think that Draymond doesn't get that type of respect around the league in that case?
Okay, well, first of all, Draymond owns Blake. Every time the Warriors play the Clippers, Draymond is just busting Blake up. I mean, you know, that's obvious. So, like I said, they have two different kinds of games. Blake is more, you know, your go-to guy like Steph is for the Warriors. Draymond is more a guy that wears a lot of hats. He's kind of like that superhero that, you know, not only does he fly and swim and swing from building to building, but he does it all.
Martin, so, I hear what you're saying. The thing is for me is that this year AD hasn't played well, and he's also been injured. So this year you got to say Blake Griffin at this point in the season. I think AD was crowned a little early. I think right now you have to say Blake Griffin, who's played way more games than Anthony Davis, is still – I still give him the title. Thanks for the call, man. I still give him the title of the best power forward. AD hasn't played that much. And also AD isn't – their team is losing. They haven't had a great game. That to me is more of a condition of us crowning someone before – than Steph Curry. Steph Curry, we know, has won a championship. He's one of the better players in the NBA. They were saying AD was ahead of Steph Curry in the MVP race in the offseason. They were saying he's potentially the best player in the world. AD hasn't played great this season. Blake Griffin's been on the basketball court a lot longer than Anthony Davis.
So it's one of those things where we're kind of suffering. It seems like it. We're kind of suffering from wanting to get that instant gratification.
Exactly.
We want to say somebody, crown somebody immediately and do that. He needs to crown that unibrow. That unibrow is the true power forward.
Yo,
that is the true power forward in the NBA, that unibrow. Hey, we don't like to leave anybody hanging on the line. And this is one of our favorites right here. Want to talk a little Dubs. Antonio out of Oakland. Antonio, speak on it, man. What's going on?
Antonio.
Do you still have Antonio there? Oh, man. You know, that's one of my favorite guys. You know, he was going to come with that passion. He always
hey, listen,
does.
Guys. That's how he starts. Hey,
but,
listen,
you know, the last caller, Mariano, he made a good point. You know, I think a lot of people look at the battle when it comes to power forward, and immediately you're going to think, you know, Blake Griffin, Draymond Green, especially here in California, you're always going to look at those two guys. But Anthony Davis overall, even though I hear what you're saying, Santi, about him not playing well this season, I do think that he is going to be the future of the power forward position in the league. Am I right?
I agree. Anthony Davis has a skill set that is as unique as maybe Draymond Green's. He's the only other, I would say, power forward with such a unique skill set, which this guy is almost 7 foot. He can shoot the three ball. He can put the ball on the floor. He has handles equivalent to that of like a guard. He can pass the ball and plays good defense. Anthony Davis is the future of that position. But this year, Blake Griffin's played more games than Anthony Davis, just hasn't been stellar. That team has taken a step back, and it's sad to see because we like Alvin Gentry. But I think one of the reasons why Draymond doesn't get enough credit is that we like to see freaks.
Right.
We are fascinated by the freak. That's one of the reasons why Steph Curry doesn't get as much.
You see the athleticism. You see the wingspan.
Exactly.
You see the ability to hit that shot, that mid-range shot. I mean, he brings what you want to the table. And that's why I think he was crowned so fast. Plus, he was already kind of in the national spotlight before he came into the league.
There you go.
And that's kind of what happens a lot. A lot of these guys get placed into the national spotlight. They kind of get crowned before they, you know, reach any type of peak. But I think with Anthony Davis in that case, I think we're definitely looking at the future of the power forward position in the NBA.
Without a doubt. And I think that Anthony Davis, you'll see as his career goes on, he'll probably play more center. I think that Alvin Gentry wants to go small with that team, and you'll see AD playing the five spot, and they'll hopefully bring in a guy like a Draymond Green who can really be that versatile four.
So we're gonna taper off a little bit into the because we're happy with the Warriors. You know,
man.
We're happy with the Warriors.
Tonight they do got a game.
They got a game tonight against Milwaukee in Milwaukee. This is the seventh game of the road trip. They're looking to set the record for the most wins in a road trip, consecutive wins in a row. I mean, I'm just, to be honest with you, I'm amazed that that's never happened before. But
they're gonna win tonight. Milwaukee doesn't score a lot of points, and Milwaukee's defense isn't as good as the Boston Celtics. I got them going 25-0 and coming home with a 25-game win streak to start the season.
Mm. Well, I'll be watching the game.
I won't have
my fingers crossed because I feel like we won't need luck. We just need to be ourselves. Dubs just got to be themselves. That's
see
all they got to do.
See if Clay Thompson plays, yeah.
Maybe Clay will be out there. Now we're going to taper off into a little Raider talk because I know the other team playing on the Oakland Coliseum complex hasn't been having the same type of luck that the Warriors have
what
recently.
What you mean by that, Rudy?
You know, I mean, it was a heartbreaker last week. So I think it was a heartbreaker. Kind of dashed the playoff hopes a little bit. And actually, we got somebody on the line who wants to speak Raiders right now, calling right out of East Oakland. Carl on the line. What's going on, Carl? Tap in, man. What do you want to say?
Yeah, what's going on, yo? Man, you know, it's funny, man, because, like, even the last couple weeks, everybody want to talk about how we still was alive for the playoffs. I'm not even tripping off the playoffs, man. The thing that I'm tripping about, before the season started, all the experts, they was talking about, oh, this is still like a two-win team, a four-win team. And, you know, I mean, guys that are speaking from their heart, they was talking about Super Bowl. But, I mean, people that was keeping it 108, everybody like myself, looking at the roster, looking at what we've done and looking where we've come from, and I was thinking 8-8. And I think we still in that same path, man. This is an 8-8 team. You know, we still need to win out some games in order to get to 8-8. Even if we're 9-7, which we still have a possibility of being. You know, this is the same team that I thought we was gonna be before the season started. And you know, the thing is, I think the reason why a lot of people trip off the Raiders, you know, and them losing is because we didn't think we was going to be in as many games as we was in, man. Even though we losing, you know, we most of the games are close, with the exception of the Bengals game, you know, and so it hurts a little bit more because we was in and we could have won any one of those losses with maybe one or two plays. So, I mean, my main message to Raider Nation, man, calm down, man. We are exactly where we thought we was going to be. Everything is still looking cool. People jumping on Carr now, talking about Carr's a big bust. And, you know, I heard on the station this week, man, somebody, one of the hosts was talking about, he's like, you know, people were saying that he's like a bust like Jamarcus. Man, come on, man.
Oh, man.
Be real with it, man. I mean, I argued with dude in the morning when he said that, and he kind of took a step back and was like, well, I'm not saying that everybody's saying it. I'm just saying that people, it is, dude, Derek Carr is the dude for this team. You know, just realize that with a free agent signing next year, and you know, we gotta have that impact free agent signing. And then get lucky in the draft again, you know, and I think that, you know, hey, if we get a running back that's a real running back, not some guy that tries to be running back, but I mean, Bortavious is not the man. We need a real running back that leans forward, gets that forward lean and gets those 3 yard gain, 4 yard gain, 2 yard gain, 12 yard gain, instead of no gain, 1 yard loss, a 15 yard gain, 1 yard loss. No game. I mean, we can't have that kind of running back. We get a running back, we get some corners, get lucky in the draft, get lucky in free agency. It's all good next year, man. I ain't even tripping.
Carl, I think you got the formula. Thank you so much for the phone call. We appreciate it.
A lot of luck, though. A lot of luck involved. No, there's some skill to it.
But I think he's got a point, though, Santi, when he says that a lot of people kind of had very high expectations a few games into the season, and now that they're kind of coming back to earth, I could totally understand when people say, you know what, the Raiders, perhaps they are where they were supposed to be, an 8-8, maybe even a 7-9, team this year. It hurts me to say it, but I think that's where they belong.
7-9 sounds great to Raider Nation, I'm sure.
At the beginning of the year, I'm sure a lot of people would have took that. I don't think a lot of people would have took that by week 3 or week 4 when they were thinking playoffs all the way.
I'm one person. I don't believe in schedules. I don't believe that there's a schedule for the Raiders to be on, and right now the Raiders are at the certain point right now. I believe that this is a professional football team, and if they were winning games, then why not say there's a chance for the playoffs? I get what why folks are saying now let's taper back. I think because we're saying, because we had such, you know, 10, 12 years of terrible football that we're like, you know, let's at least be excited for the kind of bad team that we're seeing, right, or the okay team. No, listen, they're professional athletes. If the Raiders made the playoffs, we wouldn't say, nah, you know, we're not going to take the playoff run because we don't, we're not on schedule for
right.
that. I think, no, we're at where we're at because of the team this year.
But David Carr being compared to Jamarcus Russell, or Derek Carr being compared to Jamarcus
Russell.
That's
ridiculous.
That's sacrilegious.
That's ridiculous.
You gotta have some problems to make that
comparison. I wonder who that was. Was that on this station?
He must have been having some adult beverages when they said
possibly.
That. I don't know
who.
Or he might have been sipping on that purple drink that Jamarcus is known for sipping on.
I like the little connection you made right there. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be doing some more Raider talk on the other side. Make sure you join us. Hit us up at 888-957-9570. You are hanging with the Three Amigos on 95.7 The Game.
What are the odds that you could play real Vegas-style blackjack at a casino close to home? You're a winner at Livermore Casino. Mention 95.7 The Game, and first-time blackjack players receive $10 in match play. Poker, pie-gal, three-card poker, and the newest addition, Easy Baccarat. Football fans won't miss a second with the NFL Sunday Ticket at Livermore Casino. You can't see us from the freeway. Just take the First Street exit off 580 towards downtown Livermore. Online at LivermoreCasino.net. That's LivermoreCasino.net.
Winner! On the 12th day of snacking, AMPM gave to me 12 hot dogs roasting, 11 freezes chilling, 10 coffees brewing, 9 cookies baking, 8 chips a-crunching, 7 donuts blazing, 6 nachos melting, 5 spicy chicken sandwiches, 4...
Lady, that's really nice, but there's a line here.
Our new spicy chicken sandwich is something to sing about. AMPM, too much good stuff.
At participating stores while supplies last.
Deck the halls on a Hornblower holiday cruise. Start a new tradition with gourmet dining, festive entertainment, and the most spectacular views of San Francisco that you can find unless you're riding with Santa. Visit Hornblower.com or call 888-HORNBLOWER.
GetMyPerks.com is celebrating the season of giving. Register at GetMyPerks.com and you could win $500 this holiday season for yourself and $500 for your favorite charity. Enter the season of giving now at GetMyPerks.com. This is a national contest.
All Craftsman is on sale Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at all Orchard Supply hardware stores with up to half off. There's no better time to wrap up perfect presents for the tool lovers on your list. Save big on everything from power tools to pliers, trimmers to tool chests, chainsaws to screwdrivers, and more. If it's Craftsman, it's on sale December 11th, 12th, and 13th at Orchard Supply Hardware. Visit us in Redwood City and in San Francisco at Taylor and Point Streets.
Are you being denied credit? Are you paying high interest rates? At CreditRepair.com, we know life happens. Divorce, medical bills, student loans, and many other reasons why credit scores fall. That's why at CreditRepair.com, we're committed to helping folks get the second chance they deserve to improve their credit.
CreditRepair.com is actually acting as an advocate for me. Things that I thought when you paid them off, they were still on there. Things that I didn't even know were on there, but they got them removed. I feel they're doing what they said they'd do and beyond. I'm not going to abuse this second chance that they gave me. I'm in the process now of buying a home. CreditRepair.com actually does work.
We can help you get a second chance at great credit. The consultation is free and includes a free credit score and summary credit report. We'll review your current credit situation right on the phone with a game plan to restore it. Call 800-469-8108. That's 800-469-8108. Again, 800-469-8108. 800-469-8108.
Miss a big interview on 95.7 The Game? Every interview is archived online. Listen wherever you are at 957thegame.com. The Game. You're listening to The Three Amigos with Zaragoza, Santiago, and Ortiz on 95.7 The Game.
With the first pick in the 2007 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
Wow. Thank you, Brian, for that.
That is a day that will live in infamy.
I appreciate that, man. That was really kind of you.
Welcome back, Bay Area. You're hanging here with the Three Amigos, Rudy Ortiz, Brandon Santiago, and Victor Zaragoza.
He's
minus Big Daddy today. I'm sure Big Daddy would appreciate not being here to hear that again.
Jamarcus is like Voldemort from Harry Potter. He's a name that you should not speak of.
You're going to hit him with some Voldemort?
Voldemort. Yeah, he's a name that you shall not. That was a day that will go down in Raider infamy, is what that was.
It really was. It was the beginning.
Or Sezzle.
For shizzle. Yes. Little Tiger Woods for shizzle. I like that. Hey, you know, we don't like leave anybody hanging, especially our boy. This is one of our favorite guys. We're going to wrap it up on, we're going to get into some Raider talk, but we want to wrap it up on some Warrior talk with our boy Antonio out of Oakland. Wants to speak a little dubs. Antonio, tap in, man. What's going on?
Tony.
Oh, hey, y'all. Sorry about a couple minutes ago. Yeah, I ran a little something, but.
Oh, you're on that Metro phone. That's a problem. There you go.
Yep.
He's like, yeah, sure.
But yeah, the Warriors, you know, we riding high right now. You know, it's going to take a team to beat us, probably like, you know, it's a team that's like an in your face, you know, like on the perimeter, like a great perimeter defenders. The long reach, like I say, it's Spurs with Kawhi Leonard, you know, it's going to take a couple of players from the opposing team to have something like that, you know. But, you know, tomorrow, you know, my Niners, shout out to Blaine, Magic, Gabbert.
Wow.
You know, deliver us a win. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really like, you know, Gabbert's progressing, you know, like, I really like that guy. You know, he got to, like, I'm just curious to see, like, how he's going to be when he gets, like, Carlos Hyde back, you know, like, have actual running game. But, you know, he threw that aggro ball last week, you know, against Vic Fangio's defense, you know, and that 40-yard run, that was great. I was really progressing right there. On the road in the cold, though, that run and pass, man, yeah. You know, sign of things to come.
Hey, appreciate the phone call, Antonio. We always appreciate it when you tap in, man. But, and you know, he's got a point, though. He was doing things that Kaepernick hasn't been doing all year long.
Franchise quarterback.
The 44-yard run.
Yeah.
Especially the 71-yard bomb to Torrey Smith. That is literally what the Niners have been working on. They brought him in for that, and they can never get it done.
That's your franchise quarterback, Rudy.
I'm not ready to call him Blaine.
I mean, you did earlier today.
I'm not ready to call him Blaine Magic Gabbert.
That's weird anyway.
That's a big time
compliment. Is Magic the thing? Is that the one that once you put Magic into a name, it's like, oh, uh-oh.
It's Magic. That we have a competent quarterback. That's the only magical thing about it.
They got Blaine Gabbert. They have nothing to worry about.
I agree. I mean, Rudy is calling him his franchise quarterback. You got guys calling him Magic Gabbert.
Man.
This is a good time in Niner Empire. It seems like right now you guys are content with where you're at. This is just a good time.
It's not Niner Empire. It's Niner County. Okay.
We've been downgraded.
We've been downgraded. Okay.
Niner fans are excited about the year. You know, they're excited about what's been going on. It seems like it right after this Chicago game.
Something. Yes. Thank you, Tom Sula. That's my sentiments exactly. But speaking of franchise quarterbacks, we heard the cut earlier when Jamarcus, that fateful day in 2007 when he was drafted number one. And
the name shall not be speaking of.
We will not even speak it, right? We just know exactly who we're talking about. When you hear the pain in our voice, you know exactly who we're talking about. But, you know, speaking of the name that shall never be mentioned again, there's a lot of people that are looking at Derek Carr, and maybe they're asking these questions now. You know I'm a big Derek Carr fan, but there's a lot of questions being asked right now as to whether he's going to be the man for the future or not. I know last week, especially in the fourth quarter, it was tough. It was tough to see him kind of fall apart. I mean, tough might be a
that's an understatement. It's an understatement. Year, Rude.
But was it enough though, Santi? Was it enough for people to question his validity as the quarterback of the future for the Raiders?
I think, you know, to use your famous phrase, PYB.
PYB, baby.
Maybe do we have to pump our brakes on Derek Carr? I don't think so. I think Derek Carr had a rough game against a good defense, a division rival game. Look, there was no way the Chiefs weren't winning that game. I thought the Raiders had a chance. Kansas City is a veteran team that sees the playoffs on the horizon. They said, you know, we have a sophomore quarterback who's still figuring things out. We're going to make sure this guy remembers this game. I think you saw the better team with a better coaching staff win the game.
But Santi, the people were asking for the ball to be put in Derek Carr's hand.
That's what we asked for, Raider Nation.
And that's what they went for, but yet he just had those mistakes. You know, he held onto the ball a little too long. A couple of errant throws. You know, I saw Michael Crabtree reaching for a couple of balls that just weren't within his grasp. I mean, it's just, I'm with you 100% on the PYB. Definitely pump your brakes. It's just one game. It just happened to be in a very important game against a very big rival, and it kind of dashed the playoff hopes. At least that's what it feels like.
Well, for all intents and purposes, they're not in the race anymore. I think that mathematically they're still in it, but they would need a lot of help. Up until last Sunday, they controlled their own destiny. If they would have won out, they would have for surely been in the playoffs. If they would have beat Kansas City a couple of times, there was a great chance they would have been. The thing you got to do is win your home games.
Right.
And they didn't do it. And Derek Carr, like you said, I remember last week, myself, Vic, you, we all, even the, I forget who our guest was last week. He said, right now, this coaching staff has to put the ball in Derek Carr's hands. And they did that. And the irony of it is Derek Carr couldn't get the job done. I don't think he's not a franchise quarterback, but it shows you he's not at the level right now where he can carry the entire team to the playoffs.
But you know, on the same token, another thing that we did ask for that same day was for the Raiders to get to Alex Smith. And they got their sacks, and you know, the Chiefs went in there as the second highest sack team in the AFC. And it was incredible to see them actually get, what did Khalil Mack have, a sack and a half?
Yeah. One solo sack and two assisted.
And two assisted sacks. So it was nice to see them get that pressure, because that's something that had been missing all year long. And a lot of people were questioning Ken Norton and his schemes, and what's the reason why they weren't getting to the quarterback with more frequency. And I think that was kind of answered last week.
Well, you look at it, well, we talked about this earlier, is that Khalil Mack's playing better without Aldon Smith. And he's right now, he's carrying that pass rush. Can you name another pass rusher on the Raiders? There's not another guy, maybe Benson Mayoa. You know, you got maybe Narion. There's not a lot of guys who have the specialty in rushing the passer.
Right.
Khalil Mack is that guy, and this, at least the second half of the season, he stepped up to the plate.
We're going to jump over to the phone line. We're going to speak with Rob out in Richmond. He wants to do a little Raider talk. Rob, go ahead and tap in, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, yo? Hey, man, you got to talk fast, man. Y'all must have been some rappers in another life. I am trying to, like, recover from my yesterday hangover.
Well, see, there's the problem, Rob.
Yeah,
that's
man.
The problem right there.
You're seeing double, brother.
Hey, thank God for Uber. Hey, check it out, man. As far as Derek Carr, I mean... To be honest with you, man, he's a second-year guy. Most second-year quarterbacks, they're on the bench with a clipboard. He's learning, you know, on the fly. Now, I think the problems that Derek Carr has right now is going to be worked out. I think he doesn't realize that he does have playmakers around him, and he tries to be that only playmaker, and he forces balls. You know, the things that I see wrong with Derek Carr at this moment are things that is going to be it's correctable, you know. I mean, the main thing I think that he tries to do, you know, he has a lot of faith in his arm. And, you know, that throw that he made at Crab couple games ago, man, you know, in the end zone, that's all I needed to see. Once I saw that throw, it's like a 30-yard bullet pass between three guys, hit Crab right on the goal line for the touchdown, man. That's all I needed to see to know that Derek Carr is the franchise quarterback for the Raiders. For the next 5 years at least. But, I mean, people don't realize, man. It's like he's a second-year guy. You know, he forces balls. He's trying to do too much. And he's a second-year guy. What do you expect, man? Like I said, most second-year guys are on the bench with the clipboard, man. Give Derek Carr a break. Have faith that he's going to work those things out. Now, I do think he does need, if not a quarterback, a good quarterback's coach. I mean, I would love to have somebody like Gannon come on a coaching staff. Somebody, you know, that's been there and can kind of mentor him. If that's not going to be a second-string quarterback or a third-string quarterback or someone that's on the roster, have a coach like that to come in, because I think that's one thing that he definitely does need to do that progression, is he needs somebody to mentor him to say, hey, you know, what were you looking at here? And, you know, but Derek Carr is fine, man. You know, just keep everything into perspective, man. He's a young cat. He can make the throws. Like the other dude said, man, as soon as we get some more keys around him, we'll be all right. We'll be all right.
There Rob, appreciate the phone call, Rob. Thank you very much. Hey, man, make sure you get some Gatorade or some Pedialyte. That's usually pretty good for the hangovers. Not that I know from experience, but just to let you know. But he makes a good point,
yeah.
Though. He makes a good point. I like the fact that he's kind of bringing some sanity to the situation.
Of course.
Getting everybody to calm down a little bit. Some people just kind of jumping the gun on saying that perhaps Derek Carr is not the quarterback of the future. Just kind of pump the brakes. Just hang out. Just chill and just kick back a little bit. The guy's still got the tools. It was just a tough loss on Sunday.
Derek Carr is not the problem. The Raiders aren't making it to the playoffs this year. Yeah, you can't say Derek Carr is the reason why. And that's a change of pace from all the other past Raider teams. Usually, the reason why the Raiders weren't making it to the playoffs is because their quarterback sucked.
Mm.
You can no longer say that. Their quarterback,
that.
It's not great. He hasn't played great in some of these games that they've lost, but he wasn't the sole reason why they lost the game.
Mm.
So I think that Derek Carr still is in good position to do something that we haven't seen in a long time, which is take the Raiders to the playoffs.
Like, ooh, it's been a while.
How does that sound?
It's been a while.
That's been a while, right?
Well, we definitely got some more Raider talk coming up for you guys, Amigo Nation. Make sure you guys stay tuned. On the other side, we're going to have Ultra Raider fan and Raider connoisseur extraordinaire.
Nice.
We usually have him on the phones, but we got the pleasure of having him here in studio with us today. The one and only Dr. Death. Right on the other side, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, the Bay Area's new sound for sports.
Next, listen Listen as Derek Carr leads the Silver and Black to Mile High Stadium to face off against Brock Osweiler and the division-leading Broncos. Coverage starts at 11 with the Raiders opening drive. With John Lund and four-time Super Bowl champ Bill Romanowski. Kickoff with Papa and Flores at 105. Right here on your radio home for Raider football. 95.7. The Game.
So, what are you reading?
I'm checking out the ratings on the new TVs. Looks like Samsung, LG, and Sony got the best scores.
Just like last year. Hey, what about those new 4K Ultra TVs?
They got the highest scores of all, but their prices are pretty high.
Did you check online?
Yep, their prices were about the same.
Well, there's only one place where we can get a better deal on one of those top-rated models.
Where?
At Video Only. And you should check out the ratings of TV stores.
I see. Video Only got really high scores.
So, if we want the best deal on the best TVs,
then we should take our magazine ratings and head over to the top-rated Video Only.
At Video Only, you won't find huge stores with refrigerators or dishwashers, but you will find the best deals on HD TVs, Blu-rays, cameras, camcorders, and home theater systems. Shop around. Just make sure you visit Video Only, because if you don't,
you'll be sorry.
In Mountain View, San Mateo, Hayward, Dublin, and San Rafael, Video Only.
Hi, I'm here with Mike, inventor of Quick Mode from TiVo, the new feature that lets you watch TV 30% faster so you can save time and never miss a thing. Mike, what inspired you to create Quick Mode?
One day.
Back on anything you hear on 95.7 The Game. Like us on Facebook and speak your mind at 957 The Game. Text us at 95795. This is the Three Amigos with Zaragoza, Santiago, and Ortiz on 95.7 The Game.
I just get excited when I hear that.
It's got to be exciting, bro.
It's game time. Football season. You got to love it.
I don't care who you are and what fan you cheer for. When you hear the autumn wind, that gets the hair on the back of your neck up.
You thinking about pigskin and some turkey.
That's it, baby.
Right?
That's it, all day.
Love it. Autumn wind,
just
man.
Wind, baby.
We're here with 2.5 amigos. We'll call it that right now.
We got two
amigos minus Victor Zaragoza. But we have a great replacement for him, I think so. He's a lot handsomer, at least.
Almost definitely.
Even with the face paint and the fake dreadlocks.
Yes.
We got the ultimate fan, Dr. Death, in the building. Dr. Death, what's up, man?
What's going on, Amigo Nation?
Doctor, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me, man. I got some big shoes to fill today, man.
You do, man.
And some big pants.
Yes.
Some big pants, too.
We established that.
Yeah. I think my shoulder pads make up for that.
I think they do, man.
Potentially.
You stand head and shoulders above the rest with those.
I hope, man.
So for those of you who aren't able to be in the studio, right now Dr. Death is coming on a Saturday with striped black and white pants mm-hmm. on. He has a Raiders jersey on with about 15 different patches.
Yes.
But to top it off, he has a helmet, a construction helmet, with 5 knives sticking out of the top and fake dreadlocks.
That's it.
I mean, this is football. This is Raiders football.
No, this is Raider football.
That's what it is.
This is Raider football. I love how you embody all that the Raider fans feel, you know, all in one outfit. Just that the passion, the conviction. I love it.
And I'm bringing the black hole here to 957 The Game, and you can peep me out on Periscope.
There you go.
At 26 Dr. Death, and I think Javier, your producer, retweeted that out, so check us out.
Little pants, high motto. There it is.
That's what we call it. Little pants. We'll fill you in on that later.
So, Dr. D, I mean, the first thing, we're going to get this out of the way so we can talk actual football. But, Rudy, you said it perfectly this morning. We have the stadium soap opera that right now we're almost getting to the crescendo. Maybe it's coming to an end, and we'll figure out who's going where when. Give us the most up-to-date information on what's happening with the Stadia soap opera.
Man, it is the epitome of complex, because you have a club of multi-billionaires that want to move. So that in itself, when you're dealing with billions of dollars, that's complex.
Yeah.
So we have three different cities, St. Louis, San Diego, Oakland, that want to go. Their respective owners want to go to L.A. There's different variables, different roadblocks. You got Stan Kroenke, who's with his wife, who owns Walmart, combined worth $11 billion.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money to play with. San Diego and Oakland, respectively, Dean Spanos, Mark Davis, they don't have that kind of change. Mm. So if you are looking to put a team in L.A. that can support itself, that doesn't have to worry about an image rebranding, and has experience of owning three other sports franchises, thinking logically, who would that be? The guy who was worth $11 billion.
Yes.
Now, other cities, I don't like comparing Oakland to other cities. We should compare Oakland to itself. But each respective city is connected.
Mm.
So if you look at St. Louis, they're trying to use public funds, right? And the Alderman, which is their city council, they passed a financing plan. However, that same day, you had a state senator go on a radio, a sports talk station in L.A., said, I'm not going to give you the money that unless you take it to the people and they vote. And they know that the people won't pass that.
Right.
And they're talking about $300 million coming out of the general fund. General fund is taxpayer dollars that you go to the schools and the roads and stuff. Right. That's what they want to do in St. Louis. And Roger Goodell said, if Stan Kroenke, the owner of the Rams, doesn't like that deal, he doesn't have to take it.
Mm.
Here in Oakland, I'm against using taxpayer dollars. You should never give a welfare check to a multimillionaire. Never.
I agree.
However, what just came out in the San Francisco Chronicle is what they can do is they can take bonds, and what the bonds would do is they would loan the money to go to build the stadium, hypothetically or allegedly, and the way how you repay back that bonds is potential non-game day revenue. Let's say AC/DC, Drake, WrestleMania. Now, that money that goes in there, they can go back to pay to the bonds.
Yes.
Okay? But it's twofold, because people are saying, when is the city of Oakland going to give a deal? It's not necessarily the city of Oakland's responsibility to cut a check. Like, when I want to build a house, I don't go knock on the city of Oakland's door and say,
good
hey.
Point. Yeah.
So, no, but I want you to elaborate on that, because I think there's a lot of people that don't know what the city of Oakland's responsibility is. There's a lot of people out there that are saying, why isn't Oakland participating, or what's the problem, or what's the holdup? Let us know and educate people. What is the holdup, or what's their responsibility in this whole endeavor?
And you bring up a very good point. So there's three things that are responsible. They need infrastructure paid for. The Raiders need infrastructure paid for, which the city of Oakland is responsible for. That means BART, roads, all that good stuff that would be there, whether there's a stadium there or not. Then they need land made available. That Coliseum property, the Raiders don't know where to build. That's just a fact.
Right.
They don't know where to build. You also have Lou Wolf to deal with, the NEAs. And then you have Mount Davis, which still has roughly almost $100 million left to be paid
for. That's incredible. That's incredible.
There you go.
Those three things have to be paid for. And as of this morning, they were talking about the county of Alameda taking care of that $100 million debt and it being paid back over time through non-game day revenue. Then land needs to be made available, and from what I'm hearing, they're about 80% there, but it's by no guarantee that's going to happen. So to recap, we need three things: land made available, infrastructure paid for, and debt to be taken care of.
Mm.
When those three things are available, they can go to Mark Davis and say, Mark Davis, now it's your turn.
Your move.
What you're responsible for is the design of the stadium, naming rights. You know how Levi has, you know, the name Levi?
Right.
That's what he's responsible for. Does he want to make it Uber? Now,
P.F. Chang.
Hooters.
P.F. Chang.
Just throwing him out there.
You know, things like that. So when people say it's only on Mark Davis or it's only on the city, that's half the truth. It's on both of them.
Right.
There's a deadline December 28th by the NFL that says you need to come up with a plan. I don't think they're going to come up with a plan. I do want to say this. I want to take the time and tell this to everyone. There's one thing I think is going to happen. Embrace yourselves. All three teams will be filing for relocation.
And any 24 votes, that's January 12th, correct? Any 24 votes to that, whoever wants to move, all 24 owners have to say, okay, you can come to Los Angeles, correct? That's January 12th.
Yes. Well, and all three teams, that includes the Raiders, will file for relocation. And that's a double-edged sword, because I'm going to be mad. How dare you file for relocation? But from a business sense, if you don't file for relocation, that's not smart business-wise.
Right.
You've been going through this 2 years, you know, this leverage pool, and then you're not going to file and you're going to be stuck. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So each city, Oakland, San Diego, and St. Louis, they are facing different variables. And in Oakland, if they do come to the table and the city of Oakland says, look, this is how close we are. We're actually really further along, you know, than let's say St. Louis. Give us an extra month to present something to Mark Davis. It could happen, but I want to make clear that's my own personal opinion from observing everything.
Yeah. So basically this could get way more convoluted and way more complicated
before
it gets more simple. I mean,
I'm already confused.
If all three teams are bearing down on the opportunity and it's going to happen where they're all going to file for relocation, this can get way more complex than what it already is. A lot of people are already having trouble following it.
I'm already confused. Jeez.
Oh, guys, I've been following this for 2 years. I mean, I'm telling you, I message politicians. I text message politicians. Yeah. And it's frustrating. Like, sometimes, some nights, I don't sleep. And some nights I have some friends that I say, look, what am I missing here? And they break it down. And you know, we message, you know, different politicians, and it is way complex.
Well, Doc, yeah. I'll say this, Doc. You know what? That I appreciate your vigor for the Raider Nation, and we appreciate all the fans out there in Raider Nation that are passionate about keeping the Raiders in Oakland.
Definitely.
But the one thing that is the saddest thing about this is right now we have a young and up-and-coming team with a potential franchise quarterback that's playing better than they have in the last decade or so. We can't even get to that. So let's talk about the product on the field right now. Last week, Rudy alluded to it. Derek Carr kind of imploded in that fourth quarter.
Yes, he did, but I went to go look back at the tape, and it's kind of, I think, was it the Cincinnati game where he also had a pick six, but I think it was Seth Roberts running across the field and he wasn't looking. You know, what was that?
Right.
Don't get me wrong. We should give Derek Carr some blame, but that's kind of like, I don't want to put him on that caliber, but that's like saying Brett Favre had too many interceptions, so he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. You know, kind of like in that same breath. But then if you look at that last game, there was one where he tried throwing it to Crabtree and Crabtree fell.
Yeah.
But there
was definitely, the thing that I saw in the fourth quarter was a guy that was trying to win the game all by himself,
yeah.
You know, and holding the ball a little too long in the pocket, making errant throws. When you see those type of things, Doc, when you see holding the ball too long in the pocket and then making wild throws, which that is not part of who Derek Carr normally is. He's got some accuracy into his game. So when you start seeing that, that's when you start to, you can only assume that it's a mental breakdown or a mental lapse that he had in the fourth quarter. Because to be honest with you, they were right there. They were neck and neck with them until the fourth quarter when the offense just seemed to disappear.
Yeah, I think that too. But you know what? I think the one thing that really helps Derek Carr, and it's really overlooked, is obviously the run game, right? That's the run game. But the one thing that I think is a detriment to the league overall is the culture change and the lack of a fullback. And because if you look at DeMarco Murray when he was with the Cowboys, he either had a fullback or he was like 9 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Right.
Where if you're in the shotgun, you're like 4 yards. When you're 9 yards behind the line of scrimmage, by the time you hit that line, you're already at full power. Look at Adrian Peterson. They tried it without the fullback. When he came back and he says, this isn't working, they switched up to a fullback, you know, old school. And when you have a legit run game, you don't have to rely on Derek Carr's arm through the passing game, which they have been doing. There's another caller I heard earlier that says, you know, Latavius Murray isn't the one. Dude's closing in on 1,000 yards.
He is.
Without a true number two running back.
Nobody there to back him up.
With no, and you know, and then we may talk about this later. Jamize Alawale, they signed him to a 3-year contract extension. I said, well, is he going to be that number two running back? And I think those components around him would make Derek Carr better, and we're not going to have to rely on him throwing.
Yeah, two contract extensions, Alawale and Michael Crabtree. We'll talk more Raiders on the break. Listen to 95.7 and 3 Amigos.
Now, back to the Three Amigos with Zaragoza, Santiago, and Ortiz on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Saturday, Bay Area. You're listening to the Three Amigos. We got Rudy Ortiz in the building and Brandon Santiago. Vic is giving toys to children.
He's out there doing the right thing, Santi.
Wow, what a great alibi. Like,
not like us, just corrupting the world with our opinions.
That's what we're doing. I agree. Well, we got the ultimate fan. Tell me, you were just saying you're a part of the Hall of Fame. Go ahead and explain that.
So I'm part of the Pro Football Ultimate Fan Association at the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio.
As Dr. Death.
As Dr. Death.
The ultimate fan.
The ultimate.
I dig it.
Dr. Death.
I just got to ask, how do you get voted into that, man?
Okay, so basically it's first started out as Visa Hall of Fame. That was, you know, it was sponsored by the NFL. They broke off, and then a year later, they had fans from around the country from the different teams from like the 12s in Seattle, Chicago, Cincinnati, Denver.
Right.
And these are fans, these aren't just fans that just throw on face paint and regalia.
Right.
But they're measured on what they do with their fandom for other people.
Oh, now I see. Now, yes. Now
so
it makes
like,
sense.
So it's like, you don't have to dress up. You know, I mean, there's guys who run Knights of the Shield in Fresno. He's a president, and he does all kinds of charity work as a Raider, and he takes 500 Raider fans and does what Vic does, or he does Mothers Against Drunk Driving Breast Cancer Awareness.
Awesome.
That's being an ultimate fan.
Yes.
Fans Against Violence. And when you get recognized by fans from around the country, then they give you this snazzy little coin that I have.
Okay.
And you're recognized as the Pro Football Ultimate Fan Association. It's this coin that I have right here.
Can I take a look at that real quick?
Yeah, and it has a Hall of Fame, and it has the NFL Hall of Fame on the back.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Exactly right. That's basically what he's saying.
You know what though? But I mean, I do want to tell people. It's not me by myself. I have a lot of Raider Nation supports me. Fans of other.
That's awesome.
I tell everybody, especially with the stadium stuff, we are all in this together.
Yes, we are.
And together, like people say, I'm ultimate. I say no. Other people are ultimate with me.
And Doc, you know what I love about that though? I mean, because this is new information. Yeah, like, we literally just found this out like 2 minutes ago, right? But I love the fact that you're talking about that they accept fans. They bring in fans into this Hall of Fame that have substance behind their fandom. You know, they're not just up there just getting. Because the thing is that, especially in the last couple of years, sports in general, but football has always kind of had this stigma where the fans are, you know, they get violent, they drink too much, they start fights. So it's nice to know that the NFL is actually looking and nodding their head towards fans that bring more to the table other than just, you know, drunken rants in the bleachers or something like that. It's good to know that they're actually rewarding people for having some substance and some real issues behind their fandom. That's beautiful.
And to be an ultimate fan in the black hole, in the Raider Nation, which is known as maybe the best fan base in sports.
The ultimate. Fans,
that's got to mean something, man. Right. So congratulations and kudos to you. I want to definitely get back to the product on the field. The Raiders had a heartbreaking loss last week. They lost to Kansas City. A lot of folks are saying that was the end of their playoff hopes. What do you think Derek Carr has to do to bounce back against maybe the best defense in the NFL right now in the Denver Broncos?
You know, here's the thing is we're facing a number one defense that's very fast. You have the guys like Von Miller. Shane Ray isn't no pushover. You have that linebacking core that's going to be blitzing you all day. You're going to have one of the fastest safeties in the league. It's really up to what Bill Musgraves, how he puts Derek Carr in a position to win. We just can't rely on his arm to be throwing all day. I think it's going to come down to a running game. Can we run? But not only can we contain Vallejo native C.J. Anderson.
Right.
That's we're just coming off of a Pro Bowl year last year. What is our front four going to do? That's the two components here, containing the run and the run game, not being so pass heavy.
You know, you mentioned the run game, and we were talking about Latavius Murray a little bit earlier. There's been talk about questioning Derek Carr as the quarterback of the future, which I think is a little crazy to have that conversation. But what do you think about the conversation when it comes to whether Latavius Murray is the running back of the future? I know you mentioned earlier that he's getting close to 1,000 yards rushing this season, which is great. But is he everything that that Raider fans expected from their starting running back, or are we going to be looking at maybe a stable of running backs in the future?
This is a running back by committee league.
Right.
When you have two different running backs there that are, what do we have? Darren McFadden, Rashad Jennings for a couple years, and that was a good running back.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. You know, if we bring in someone like that, you're going to be taking the pressure off of Latavius Murray. And by doing that indirectly, we're going to be taking the pressure off of Derek Carr's arm. So having a number two legit running back, whether you draft a running back or you get someone in free agent that can carry the load, you're taking the load off of a running back and a quarterback, and you're going to be helping out our threesome wide receivers.
Mm. And to speak to that, I think they did. They kind of addressed the running back position. They at least addressed the fullback position in giving Alawale a 3-year extension. They also extended Michael Crabtree. For me, that was a good sign of things to come. Players seem now that they're okay with staying in Oakland. Michael Crabtree had a breakout year in his contract year. Michael Crabtree probably could have got paid a lot of other places.
Right.
He decided mid-season to sign a 4-year contract extension with the Raiders. What do you think that speaks to the Raider organization and the direction that it's moving in right now?
Because we're not used to that.
Absolutely not.
You know what I think that speaks to? I think that speaks to Derek Carr. Because remember in San Francisco, he was complaining about the guy who's not starting under center anymore.
Right, right.
And you just don't get quarterbacks every day. Like, you can go to a store and say, hey, I want a legit quarterback that can get me the ball. And have a potential, you know, another receiver that's about to attain 1,000 yards
right, in
Amari Cooper. That doesn't come every day. Well, I mean, we're around the league. Can you really get that and still going to get the ball a lot? With a good quarterback, a good complementary wide receiver, and a good running back. I think that speaks volumes to our head coaching, our quarterback, and our offense and overall.
Well, you know, you mentioned those guys. You mentioned Mari Cooper. You mentioned Derek Carr. And yeah, definitely the fact that Crabtree wants to sign in midseason and stay here says a lot about those guys because he plays with them. But at the same time, I think you have to give a nod to the organization as a whole for putting these pieces together. I mean, what are your thoughts on the transformation of the Raiders, who have put themselves in a position to have key players in key positions and other guys want to stay because of those key players?
I'm going to come out right and say this right now, and I know some Raider Nation that are listening, they're going to probably bombard my mentions
speak
and say
on
you're
it,
wrong.
Doc. Speak on it.
But I'm going to have to say where I'm wrong. I'm not a Reggie McKenzie guy.
Okay.
I don't like him. I think, you know, with the whole Dennis Allen, Greg Knapp, Greg Olsen, Jason Tarver, those were enough to say, look, you're out, because he wouldn't have lasted any other organization. Whether you were the Eagles, Patriots, Steelers, he would have been gone. But he's given enough time where he's signing key players like Michael Crabtree. He drafted Amari Cooper and Derek Carr. If he signs Donald Penn, that's going to speak volumes. Donald says that he wants to retire a Raider. Now, when you want to remain in an organization, you have to think, like, you guys work here at 957 The Game. Yes, you guys like your bosses, I'm assuming, or you guys are comfortable here.
Love them.
They're pretty good.
That's what I'm saying. And when you're talking about a millionaire and staying in a place in the Bay Area, that means your bosses, you have to like your bosses.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go out on a limb and say Michael Crabtree, Donald Penn, Alawale, like Reggie McKenzie, like his where he's going. I don't want McKenzie back next year, but he's going to be back because that's a smart thing to do.
Right.
Dr. Death, real quick before we let you go, I want to know the keys to the game. The Raiders aren't mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. They got to win this game to keep any sort of hopes alive. What do you think, quickly, the keys to the game are this Sunday against the Broncos?
Got
to
pound the ball, and stretch the field, and you got to contain Vallejo native C.J. Anderson.
CJ Anderson. Well, I couldn't agree with them more. I mean, last week I was speaking praises of make sure that Derek Carr gets the ball and it's into his hands and he's the one making the decisions and winning the game and such. After what I saw in the fourth quarter, maybe pounding the ball is probably the better way to go. I want to see that run game come alive, and I want to see them really take it to the D-line for the Broncos.
And DBs have to step up. Got to step up.
All right, you can catch the game here on 95.7 The Game, 115 kickoff. I think we got Middlecoff at the post game and John Lund pregame. So it's going to be a great game. This is a big game for the Raiders. So come back. We're going to be having a little conversation about the 49ers.
We got to speak on them, too.
Listening to the Three Amigos on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.